news on time almost.
Hey, Casey, you made the ish. You took away the ish.
I well, 12:05 is ish, I think. Not bad. That's early for me.
That's good. Yeah, that the 12 noon siren has barely faded away, and here we are.
The 12 noon siren. I can just imagine. Lights are going on in the WCP studios in Forestville, California.
Yeah, they flicker a little bit. You know, it uses up some of the current.
It's all solar powered out there, right? Wind power?
Yeah, you know, we do what we can.
I hope it's not rain power.
Not this year.
Because that's not happening. Hey, let's talk about the weather for 5 minutes. What do you think?
All right. It seems like 5 minutes every 5 seconds.
How's your week been?
Pretty
Mr.
good.
Mac?
Yeah? Pretty good. How about you?
It's good. Well, I saw you Friday, right?
Oh, that's right.
Sally Tomatoes, Celebration Destination, 1100 Valley House Drive, Rona Park, California. For your nephew's band, they played good.
Do those guys have a website?
The Bad Apple String Band?
I know they have a website, but I mean Sally Tomatoes.
You mean SallyTomatoes.com, where you can buy tickets for our fantastic Valentine's Day extravaganza? Absolutely.
Yeah, Sally. Awesome.
Everybody's got a website, Mike.
Not everybody, my friend. So we were trying to put some structure into this nutty podcast, and I asked you to see if we could come up with our top 10 favorite comics.
Yeah, I just blew that off. Come on.
Did you? Okay.
I'm not getting paid enough to do your petty assignments.
Well, you can riff off the top of your head too if you want. You're a comedy professional, so.
Right. I am a professional. That's what I'm saying. I'm not getting paid enough. You keep calling me a comedy professional. If anybody who's an actual comedy professional reads this, they're going to hate me. They're going to hate me.
Well, now why wouldn't anyone who's a comedy professional hear this? You're kind of
why would they?
You're kind That's of right. proposing it like it's a long shot.
Well, why wouldn't they or why would they? I think so far it's you, me, and Brian.
Casey, we were rolling right along, and then you dropped off.
I'm blaming you. I'm blaming River Internet.
Man, some comedy genius is just lost forever.
Oh, my God. Well, you're going to have to splice this stuff together. So, as I was saying, our audience is you, me, and Brian Thomas, I think.
Well, yeah, I don't know who Brian is, but I'm glad he listens.
I saw him last night, actually, at a little mixer. And I was also going to mention the fact that, that I got Gerard actually to listen to 10 minutes of this thing. And, I don't think that he actually believed that there was such a thing as a podcast. So, that was fun.
Hey, anybody that wants to know more, just have them tune in. Right. No, we've succumbed to the droids. There's a way to find us now on Stitcher and listen to this nonsense on your droid machine or device.
Thank God. You no longer have to be an iSlave.
West Coast Project, just look it up. Just WCP Podcast or West Coast Project, and we're moving up the charts on Stitcher.
Wait, I thought WCP stood for Wall Casey Pees, because am I not supposed to be in the bathroom when I call you? I'm totally confused.
Yeah,
see, just, again, we need a writer.
We do.
We need better contracts.
We have a Facebook page too, West Coast Project.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
Actually, how's that going? How are we doing?
You know, it's Facebook. People can look us up and fan favorite us and follow us and stuff.
Well, we have 17 likes so far. Hey, you know, get in on the ground floor on this one. I mean, really. You want to be in the top 20, at least the top 100.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So seriously, did you write down or did you think of any comedians that you tend to favorite or that you like?
Well, Mike, that's good. That's a good segue. Here's a better segue.
Well, there's no segue because the first part of the episode got chopped off when you hung up on me.
Is that you're gonna add that in, right? Of course you are.
It's gone, man.
Don't ruin the magic for our listeners. Well, okay. Well, that's not a bad segue, but here's a better one. It's Oscar season. The Golden Globes just happened. So naturally, we're going to talk about our 10 favorite comedians.
Yeah, did you have a hard time narrowing it down to 10?
I did have a hard time narrowing it down to 10. And I sort of there was a lot of newer comics that I like, but I didn't put them on here because I felt like, if you're talking about your 10 favorite, and I certainly didn't put them in any kind of order. I have a number one, I think, but everybody else is kind of.
Yeah, I was trying to put them in order too, and it's like really hard. So I just put them down. There are 10, there's 10 names here. We could just go through, like go start with whoever you have as your number 10, and we'll work our way up to one.
All right, well, before we get started though, I think we should both agree that we should throw out Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, and George Carlin. Because duh, right?
Well, one of those guys didn't make my list.
Yeah,
But
well, they're all hacks. I mean, come on.
well, I'm not gonna let you hack my list. So let's just work our way through it. I actually made a second list of guys who didn't make the list. And
You made a list of guys who didn't make the
yeah,
list.
left off the list. So I'll rip through those at the end.
Wow, you're a little better prepared than me. All right. Well,
So go for your number 10. Who's the 10th?
well, at the bottom of my list. See, because if you're not in first place, you're all losers anyway, right?
Yeah, clearly. But
So
there's no sequential value to it. It's just who's on your list.
Well, and all these guys, they're all going to listen to this. I don't want them, I don't want any petty
You don't
arguments.
want to hurt these guys' feelings, right?
Correct. Right. So we're going to start with Gallagher.
Gallagher.
Yeah, we're going to
Nice.
start with Gallagher. And here's why, Mike. There's a couple of good reasons. One is, I think he was probably the first comedian that I really was like, this guy. I was a huge fan, right? I mean, because he was early 80s. I mean, I think I was probably 8 years old the first time I saw some Gallagher, stuck in the 60s or one of those. They used to have those videos, right? That would come
Right.
up. But the cool thing about him is, see, everybody thinks about Gallagher smashing fruit, right? But he actually, if you go back and watch some of his early specials, there's actual material there. And some of it is really good, and there's a lot of political stuff and there's a lot of cool family stuff, and it was really one of those things where you could sort of watch, like I could watch it with my parents and my parents would laugh at some stuff and I would laugh at other stuff and
Yeah. So is he still active?
well, no, as far as I know, that whole thing has gone completely off the rails. I mean, Gallagher's like a punchline now, right? To a joke.
Yeah. I just Googled him. I see he's playing Deadwood, South Dakota, and Biloxi, Mississippi.
Well, there's a whole lot of controversy there because I think what happened was at some point him and his brother, who looks a lot like him, were both on tour and they were both performing under Gallagher or
Oh,
something like that.
really?
Yeah, I wish I knew all, the whole story. And then at some point there was a lawsuit, and then somebody had to change the spelling of their name or something. So there was like a lot of stuff where like you didn't know if you were seeing the real Gallagher or the brother, and one of them retired. The original guy stopped doing it, but then he wanted to do it again, probably because, he ran out of hooker and cocaine money or something. And that's the other thing too. You look at those 80s comedy specials and there was a lot of cocaine going on back then.
Oh yeah, drugs run rampant through the whole comedy industry.
Yeah, I happened to be watching Mork and Mindy not too long ago with my wife and we were just like, wow. I mean, Robin Williams is just sweating bullets, he's like all over the place.
Yeah.
That's the 80s, man. You gotta
Yeah,
love
for
it.
sure.
But yeah, so now he's like a punchline to a joke that probably starts with Carrot Top or something. I mean, I don't, but I have this like nostalgic sort of. I got a couple of those on my list, actually.
Well, I like that. I didn't even think of Gallagher. He didn't make my left off the list either. But he definitely was funny. You know, people used to wear like plastic bags and sit in the first couple rows and just kind of hope they got hit with the after effects of his sledgehammer.
Oh, and he had all kinds of crazy props too, you know. It was like he'd build these elaborate sets. I remember he had one where it was like giant couch, and he was doing this whole bit about jumping on the furniture as a kid, you know, and he had this huge couch with a trampoline. And
oh, yeah, I remember that.
There was a giant monster that lived behind the couch that, you know, ate all the crumbs or something.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, lots and lots of cocaine.
Well, my number 10 is Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
That's a...
And I hate to even call him number 10 because he's like obviously a genius. He probably belongs higher up. But again, there's not much rhyme or reason to the order of these people. Uh-huh. But I just love his shows like Family Guy, American Dad, Cleveland. Those guys are awesome.
Now, would you call him a comedian though? I mean, like are you considering anybody that sort of is involved in comedy in any form?
Yeah, you're probably going to ask me that question about some other people. I tried to get away from, like you said, Bill Cosby and those guys because I'm looking at comedy as like ways people deliver funny material more than just stand-up comedians, I guess. So I'm sorry we didn't clarify that very well, but I'm putting Seth MacFarlane in there because everything he does is pretty funny and pretty different and new. You know, I like
Go ahead. Sorry.
I like the way he puts himself in the show. Like you can tell that, you know, various parts of those characters are him. I was actually looking it up a little bit and reading about him, and he says his favorite character and the one that most resembles him is Brian.
Yeah, I mean, he is Brian. Like if you hear him talk, I mean, it's the same voice, you know.
Right, right. And he's also gotten in trouble for a few different things, like. He got in big trouble for Quagmire's dad, I guess, is a transvestite.
Right.
And he got in trouble with the gay and lesbian community because they, because I guess one of the characters was, maybe it was Brian, dating Quagmire's dad, thought it was a woman and found out it wasn't and started to vomit and get sick about it. And so he got hung out for that pretty badly.
How about the creepy pedophile guy?
Isn't that Quagmire?
No. No, the old guy that's always trying to like...
Oh, right. What's that guy's name?
I don't know the character's name, but I mean, where's the pedophile community outrage? You know, you'd think that they would, you know, form some sort of a group and...
Yeah, they probably did. That just didn't make some media person's list to write about that day.
Boycott the sponsors, pedophiles. Get on that. You know, you have rights too.
Yeah. But Seth MacFarlane, here's an interesting fact. His middle name is Woodbury, chosen by his mother as an homage to the town drunk back where he grew up.
Awesome. He's got a lot of range, that guy, too. He's a like an accomplished like singer and composer and stuff.
Right.
Like, he put out a whole big band album not too long ago. And
yeah, I think he went to like the Rhode Island School of Design. He's totally into, you know, classic screenplays of plays and music and stuff. He's a really pretty talented guy.
And you know, he could do stand up. I don't know if he ever did, but he hosted, what was that award show he hosted? It wasn't that long ago. Was it the Oscars?
The Oscars? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was hilarious. I thought he was great.
Yeah, he was good at that. Didn't he get in trouble there, too, for something? I know he kind of said he didn't want to do it anymore because it was such a hassle.
He did something that pissed everybody off. I think it maybe his opening monologue.
He doesn't need this trouble, man. He's just such a genius. You know, he should just do what he's good at and not need permission from people.
Well, he can just sort of do whatever he wants, right?
I mean, right.
At this point, you know, I mean, after he made that that teddy bear movie,
yeah,
it seems like, you know, there's something new I think is coming out too.
Probably. And, I mean, wouldn't doubt, the guy's very prolific.
He did that song about we've seen your boobs or whatever.
Oh yeah. Remember?
And it went to like all the which is kind of, I mean, the 15-year-old me was just like, yep, that's kind of, you know.
Well, that's a part of you that laughs the hardest, right? The kind of the adolescent, no restrictions on it.
Yeah.
That's when you really laugh for the truest, you know, funniest times.
People were ticked off, though, as I recall. Okay, so let's see. The next guy on my list is somebody that you've probably never heard of, and his name is Stephen Banks. Now, Stephen Banks did this is a long time ago, too. I think he's actually involved in SpongeBob somehow. So, you know, he still has a fantastic career. But he did a special. This was like back in the, you know, HBO comedy special days on it was called Stephen Banks Home Entertainment Center. And it was basically like he was just this like slacker dude. Like he was supposed to get a report done, you know, for work by the, you know, end of the day or something. And he just gets distracted by all sorts of things around his apartment. Like the set, you know, comedy specials used to have these crazy elaborate sets.
Yeah.
And the set looked like his apartment, and he was like a fantastic like musician. So he would like go around and like he'd play the guitar and he'd do this like Bob Dylan impression and just all these things that would happen. And there was like this sense of tension because like meanwhile he was supposed to get this thing done, and like he would get a phone call from work, you know, while he was in the middle of, you know, baking cookies or whatever. And it was really genius. I mean, I thought it was just fantastic. I don't think anyone else showed up in it. It's been a long time since I've seen it. And then he did a second one called, it was like Stephen Brooks something. He changed his name to Brooks. And not a lot of people know who that is, but I think I was just talking to somebody the other day about this, that it's sort of like a lost art, like that character stuff doesn't really happen anymore. You know, there's nobody that was pretty big back then, right? We had him and we had you know, like Father Guido Sarducci, right?
Where they make a character that of their own creation, kind of a persona that they use as their comedic of output.
Right, right. And actually the next guy on my list is also like that, you know, and I think, I don't know. I mean, it could come back. Like there could be a renaissance of that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. It's cool how those guys, like, they spread out into ways, you know, their creativity spreads out into ways that's not just how they're currently being published. Like they're not just a Saturday Night Live star. They're doing animation and stand up and all kinds of other crazy stuff.
Right. Will Ferrell tried to do that, right? With his George Bush thing. I mean, it was kind of like that, but it's not, you know, that's a whole show of a guy doing an impression of somebody else. And these people were like, they would just completely create a new character, which allows you to do material that you couldn't do as just like, you know, Joe comedian, right?
Right.
And then also it sort of becomes more than just comedy. It's like performance art almost, you know, but not like the shitty kind.
Yeah. Yeah. Austin Powers and stuff. Like, did Mike Myers ever do just stand up as Mike Myers?
I was just thinking of that, or Dana Carvey, right? But I don't think he would do all these characters in his acts. But he never did like a whole thing as, you know, the church lady or whatever, which I don't think you could handle for an hour. Like, I think that'd be you know, some of those characters, and Mike Myers too. I mean, Austin Powers is all right. Doesn't really hold up though, you know?
Yeah.
But having that guy on stage for an hour would probably get a little old.
You know, yeah, because this church lady stuff was always like, and even Garth and Seth or whoever those guys were with Dana Carvey, that was like 3 minutes, right? Or maybe 5 minutes.
There was two movies.
Yeah, but I mean, they're on Saturday.
Wayne and Garth.
On Saturday Night Live, they were always really short.
Yeah, they were short little skits. Absolutely. And actually, a good friend of mine and I actually wrote a Wayne and Garth skit for a class in high school, and we went up there and did Wayne's World.
Cool.
It was amazing. Yeah,
it'd be interesting to do like a 6 degrees of separation on all these people, just to see like how they connect to each other. My number 9 is Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters. Yeah, he's great.
Interesting thing about him is he still has a website even after having died, like, you know, 2 years ago. And on the cover of his website, it just kind of says, Jonathan Winters passed away peacefully, blah, blah, blah. But it just leaves it, like, it just leaves it totally, like, the closure. But I don't know why he still even has a website. They must have some sort of revenue from it, or they just want to keep his name out there.
Tell that to John Lennon.
Yeah, I guess so.
And sure, he's got a website too.
Why would you look at a website? Why would you, like, even John Lennon? Why would you go to his website just to learn more about him, like, historically?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. There's a guy who isn't on my list. His name's Mike DiStefano, and he was great. I loved him, and I didn't take him off my list because he's dead. But he had a Facebook page, and he wasn't like, you know, nationally famous. He was just on that. He didn't win, but he was on that. What's that comedy competition show? Like Last Comic Standing, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like American Idol for comics. And then he sort of got like blew up a little bit after that. And then he has a Facebook page, and it's still like I still get updates and stuff, and then I get reminded on the anniversary, you know. And it's kind of sad. I mean, but Jonathan Winters,
he was connected to Robin Williams because he was on Mork and Mindy a few times. I really liked him. He's in one really good movie too called Mad 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 World, which had like a whole cavalcade of like old comedic people in it. So I don't know. He was a funny guy. He's long gone, but back in the day, it was just super. He's like visually funny, you know. He's always in slapstick kind of funny, physical stuff.
Mad 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 World was 1963.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is like the year you graduated, or
yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Sid Caesar. Sid Caesar was in that.
Sid
Holy
Caesar,
cow.
Like Jack Benny, Spencer Tracy.
Buddy Hackett?
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney? Wow. I'm going to have to check this movie
if
out.
If you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny. Like the Three Stooges are in it.
I know. I know just the guy to watch this with. That's great. Yeah, I'll definitely check this out. I'm surprised I haven't seen it. I probably, you know, when I was younger, maybe.
Yeah, it's a really long movie, too. It's like super, like 3 hours long.
No kidding?
It has an intermission. And when movies used to have intermission, like it plays the intermission curtain and it's like, okay, this is intermission time.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's 192 minutes. Holy cow. Better be funny. Wow. All right. Good. Well, Jonathan Winters. I like it. So the next guy on my list is a similar to Stephen Banks. I'm not getting any comedy credibility with this list, by the way. But these are not influences. But the next guy on my list is Pee-wee Herman.
I'm trying to use the phone!
That's right.
He's cool.
And here's why. Again, character, created a character, right? Also, I don't know, maybe I'm just a fan of that era, you know? Pre-AIDS, mid-cocaine, right?
Yep.
If you've ever seen his first HBO special, it was called The Pee-wee Herman Show, and it's so funny. I mean, I think it's still, like, hilarious. I mean, the props, the stuff he comes up with, you know, Phil Hartman was on that because they were both in The Groundlings, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, this huge improv troupe. But, yeah, Phil Hartman comes out. He's Captain Carl. I mean, all the a lot of the 80s sort of SNL alumni were kind of connected loosely to him, you know?
Right. That's a good measuring stick, too, if it's still funny. Like, even today, you could turn it on right now and laugh at it. Because there's a lot of comedy at the time it was funny, and you'd watch it now, and you go, why did I even like that back then?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, this is not – I don't think – for me, it's not one of those things. But I don't know. I was so enamored with that when I was young because it was kind of like racy for me, you know.
Right. And, was that before like Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Oh, way before that. Yeah, this game came out in 1981. So, I mean, I didn't see it when I was five, but pretty like maybe 10, you know? So it was kind of like, it wasn't like, you know, raunchy, right? But it was like naughty, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's got like a Gumby painted pink, you know, and he's like naked Gumby, you know, just like all this weird stuff.
Right.
Just random, you know?
That's another good measuring tool is like, it's not super raunchy where you just kind of laugh out of being nervous because somebody said something really risque, you know, like a Dice Clay type of thing. Like, oh, I got to laugh at that. I'm, you know, it's uncomfortable, but right. Yeah, that kind of stuff's really funny when it like a stupid Gumby thing or, I can't even remember half the stuff that he used to do, but it was just so stupid. It was funny.
I mean, there was one he starts out like, let's see what's in my bag of tricks, you know, and then he just starts pulling out crazy stuff. Like he pulls out a giant. He's like, I'm not supposed to bring these out here, but, you know, and he pulls out this giant pair of underwear, you know, and it's just funny. I mean,
right.
And I used to, you know, I'd run around like junior high doing the Pee Wee Herman voice. All the ladies just love that, man.
I bet.
I had to beat him off with a stick. But, you know, the Pee Wee Herman show was for kids, so that was, like, different. But I thought the movie, the first movie with Tim Burton was really good.
Yeah, you really think it was for kids? Or you think he was trying to wedge his foot in the door to get into, like, the real adult comedic world?
I think that was probably, like, a huge career mistake for him to make himself into, like, a kid's Saturday. It was a Saturday morning show. Like, so it had to be for kids, right? It was right in the middle of Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
And you know, then all of a sudden there was dolls and there was toys and there was all this stuff. Actually, you know, little known fact, Lawrence Fishburne was on that show.
Is that right? Wow.
Absolutely. Cowboy Curtis. And, you know, all this stuff. And then, you know, and then the whole movie theater thing happens. And
who doesn't bust a gut when they think of Lawrence Fishburne?
Right. Well, I mean, that is comedy right there, you know? I mean, I haven't gotten to number one yet, so I don't want to spoil anything.
I know.
But yeah, no, I think, you know, if he had stuck to the other stuff, like the movie was cool, and then the Dunmore, like these HBO special kind of things, that whole movie theater thing would not have been as big of a deal. But of course he got crucified for that because he's a Saturday morning kids show guy.
Well, you're bringing up Andy Kaufman. It makes me bring up Andy Kaufman just thinking of Pee Wee Herman because of the stupid stuff that he would do. That's like, this isn't really funny, but it's just so stupid that it's like hilarious. You know, playing the Mighty Mouse song on the phonograph.
Remember? Well, that's another guy that like his whole he would do a character, right? I mean, his whole, what was it, Latka or on Taxi?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was, he would do stand up as that guy.
He would do characters almost to the point of insanity, like that whole wrestling Tony. What was his name? He was like a pro wrestler at one point.
Right. Yeah. There was a lot of. He got himself in trouble a few times.
They thought actually when he died that he didn't really die. It was just some practical joke, and he dropped off the map just to like resurface some other place and time.
Right. Is that the next guy?
He's not on my list, but you, like I said, you made me think of him. I hadn't even thought of him. My number eight is Curly Howard. Curly from the Three Stooges. Yeah, totally old. Like, I think he died in the 50s. He was so old. But, you know, who doesn't know the Three Stooges, speaking of stupid, like, just slapstick comedy that you could still laugh at today, you know? I don't know if you were thinking about Jeff when you said you got to watch Mad Mad World with somebody, but... our buddy Jeff just like loves the Three Stooges.
Well, I wasn't thinking of that, but as soon as you said the Three Stooges, of course I thought of Jeff. He constantly with the Three Stooges references.
Yeah, like the guys we never met, we never saw them live. We never lived like the experiences they had to do. Like they were in like the Depression. You know, they're driving around just trying to make money at anything they can do. Like we really have very little in common with that, but it's still so funny. You know, they're like exterminators and they let loose all the mice and stuff in the house to create business for themselves.
So why him particularly?
I don't know. He was the funniest of the three to me.
Was there something specific about Curly that you identified with?
Well, he had an indestructible head, which you can't really do better than that. When they used to saw his head and break the saw.
All right.
I mean, who's your favorite, Larry or what?
It's good to have goals.
Shemp.
I like Shemp. I'm an underdog kind of guy. All right, so my next guy is Norm MacDonald. You know who Norm MacDonald is?
That's a good one.
Like?
Yep.
All right, good. He, you know, obviously, I think he was the best news guy on SNL by far. And his sort of like dry kind of like delivery and his sort of his whole persona is kind of like, you know, I don't really know how I got here, you know? Like, what am I guess I'm supposed to tell jokes now kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And, you know, they're all stories and they're kind of weird. And I actually saw him at Cobb's one time and I was so excited to go see him. And it was just like he came out and he kept talking about how sick he was, right? And how like he was just vomiting. And everybody thought it was a joke, but you could tell like he was really not doing well. And his show wasn't that good. You know, it was kind of like, eh. And I was sort of disappointed. And the funny thing about that is, well, not really funny, but there's a guy, Johnny Steele. Have you heard of him? He's like kind of a local guy, but he's sort of like a national guy at the same time. He opened for Norm, and then I ran into him at a comedy show at the Last Day Saloon, and I was talking to him about that, and he said that Norm literally had been vomiting in the bathroom, which is right off the stage, just before he went on, and that the manager had Johnny standing like right off stage because he didn't know if Norm was going to be able to get through his set. Like he was prepared to like run out there and do like another 30 minutes or something if Norm had to go. And he said about 15 minutes in, he realized like he was going to be okay.
And he was sick, literally physically sick, or he was nervous?
No, it was like some sort of food poisoning thing. You know, but if you've ever heard like interviews and stuff with that guy, he's got some issues, man.
He's really funny. I mean, he's funny without being a character. I think he's just himself. Because when you see him being himself, it's like this is him when he's being funny. You know, he's got that kind of slurry, sloppy way that he talks. And you know,
no, that's because he's Canadian, Mike. He's from Canada.
Yeah, but in addition to that, he's just kind of a hacker. You know, he's kind of a half-assed, like he's slurring his way through life kind of guy. But it's funny.
Yeah.
I like
Slacker.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen that movie Dirty Work?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's, I mean, totally underrated, I think. I mean, that's a hilarious movie. It's got him and Artie Lang and Don Rickles. I mean, that scene where he's like just dressing down everybody at the movie theater, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's awesome. It's funny that you're starting to talk about this cuz we haven't had any cross play on any of our list yet. You haven't said anybody that's on any of my lists. And I haven't said anyone that I don't think that's on yours, but you're starting to.
starting to?
Yeah, when you're talking about some of Norm MacDonald's buddies.
Wow, spoiler alert.
My number seven is Casey Williams.
No.
You're just a totally funny guy, man. That's you, Casey, in case people don't remember our names here. But I just think you're hilarious. And I watched some of your stand-up on the YouTube links that you put out there, and they're just great. You know, you got to keep going, man, and keep doing this as much as you can because you're really funny. I've listened to some other people that are in the venues that where I see amateur comedy and stuff, and they're just really struggling. And I just think you're really funny, and you know you kind of got it. And I don't know if you know this, but like I've been Googling some of these people's names just to get information about their lives and stuff, and I Googled your name. And dude, you come up under like an X-rated porn star. There's a
yeah.
There's
I
a
do,
Casey
yeah.
Williams. Yep. In fact, his Twitter name is Casey at Casey Williams SF, which you know I thought might be you when I first tried it, but nope. And I'm sure hoping it's not you because he's got all kinds of like very X-rated stuff on his Twitter handle pictures.
Well, first of all, you said X-rated porn star. I think, you know, when you say porn star, I could do the math on the... I mean, are there G-rated porn stars?
Not that I know of. I guess you're right.
But I think one important detail that I really, you know, love to talk about is that he is also a very gay porn star.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know about him, then you've probably crossed, you know, seen his internet stuff when you download your gay porn.
No, I get his mail.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty interesting. No. I have seen that though, and I have heard that, and it's, you know, he doesn't come to Thanksgiving or Christmas or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of went his own path, which is fine. I mean, I don't judge. But yeah. I appreciate the confidence. And now, after you said that, after you put my name down on your list, I realize why we don't have any cross between our lists, and that is because I have something called taste comedy. But I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
I thought you were going to say your number 7 is also Casey Williams.
Oh, that'd be terrible. You know, I got to tell you, though, I went to on Tuesday, it was the Double Decker Lanes comedy thing. And God, there was some great comedy. I mean, really, it's kind of, you know, it's sort of when you go to local comedy stuff, it's kind of, you know, hit or miss. But it was a really good show. And you know, Brian Thomas wasn't there. It's kind of his show, right? That's why I keep mentioning him. But everybody else came together. And this guy, Nick Hoffman, that performed on New Year's. And he's actually performing on Tuesday at Sally Tomatoes, 1100 Valley House Drive, Runner Park, California. He's going to perform again. And he had me just rolling. He does the funniest stuff. It's just normal, everyday, like family, kids kind of stuff. And just the way he puts it together, his bits are so tight. Like, they're so, like, you know, perfect. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, so, that relatable stuff is what makes it magic, I think. People bring it into their own lives.
So, and I've got such a good lineup for Tuesday. It's like, I'm kind of scared to even go up. Like, you know, I feel like such a hack, you know. And like on New Year's, getting to perform with him and Juan Carlos, I was like, you know, really? Like, do I really deserve to do this? But then I was talking to Tony Sparks, and he said, look, he's like, if you put a show together, he's like, you got to go up. You know, you got to do it.
Rise to the competition, right? You want to be great, you got to play with the great players. You know, you just know that you can do it.
Right. And it's like, yeah, anything that these guys say to me, I'm just like, yeah, okay, I got to remember that, you know? Because, I mean, seriously, good stuff. You should come Tuesday. Definitely.
Yeah, I will. I'll try. I just want to say, like, you're really funny, and I'm not trying to embarrass you here, but you're like, I linked into a couple websites where they mentioned you, and you said, hey, I'm really proud that they mentioned me, and you're funny. You're in the same league with those guys. You shouldn't be like overly excited because they just mentioned your name. You belong there.
So I think it's just because they've been doing it for a long time. You know,
yeah, it's like anything though. You're gonna get good at it the more you do it.
Somebody, you know? There was a lady. So the lady that I was talking about, she does a character, right? The character's name is Vicky. I don't want to say her real name because I don't know how she wants to do this, but she was at the bowling alley last month, right? And she came out and did this character named Vicky, who's like this sort of cranky older Southern lady, I think. And she had a costume. She was dressed up in like the Santa outfit. And she did this whole like 10-minute performance thing. And she brought a lot of people from where she worked. And she was just fantastic, right? And I thought it was great. I mean, you know, it was kind of like totally different than anybody else, totally stood out. And so I got in touch with her when I started doing the booking the Sally Tomatoes shows. And so she calls me up and she goes, you know, that was like the first time I'd ever done this in public. She said I'd done it like for friends of mine at their office parties and stuff. And she'd gotten paid for it, but she'd never done it like just, you know, gone into a club or something and done it. And so then she starts asking me for advice on what to do and how to write and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't think I'm the guy to talk to, you know. I'm like, there's a lot of people to ask about this. So, I mean, I told her what I thought or whatever. And then she – I saw her on Tuesday and she asked me, so how long have you been doing this? I said, well, what are you – I mean, I've been funny my whole life. Oh, you mean in front of strangers? Oh, not that long. Not that long at all.
Yeah, but you're fitting the model or the mode of like a perfect mode of a comedian. Comedians generally have like some problems they got to figure out, and they struggle with self-esteem, and they're not really the best socializing. They don't fit right in with everybody like Mr. Normal, everyday guy. You know, they're quirky, and you do. I would ask you about stuff like that if I was a comedian coming up and I wanted to know, like, hey, is this funny? You'd be a great sounding board for that.
Yeah, my thing is, like, you know, it's one thing to make your, you know, a-hole friends laugh on the softball field. You know what I mean? It's different to get.
But isn't the making two people laugh the same as making 2,000 people laugh? You don't need a better joke to make 2,000 people laugh than you do to make two people laugh.
Well, the other side of that coin is when there's 2,000 people in the room and only two people laugh, man. That's horrible. So is it my turn?
Yeah, go for it.
I know, I've never said this before, you know, and our friend Chris Lepore is going to, like, probably choke on his coffee when he hears this, but enough about me, Mike. My next guy is John Panette. Have you heard of John Panette?
Don't know him, no, unless your description brings back some memory.
Well, John Panette is he's a fat guy. So he does a lot of, like, food and working out and hating the gym humor. And it sort of connects with me somehow, I guess, because, I mean, I don't think I'm, like, a fat guy. But, you know, inside is a scared, chubby child. See, I just brought it right back to me. I'm good at that.
Smart.
But he was – let's see. You might know him from – did you ever watch that show Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
No.
This is like – yeah, he's a terrible show. But anyway, he was on that show, and he just does jokes about, like, he's got a bit about going into the Asian buffet and kicking in the door and screaming, I'm hungry, and having them like start hiding all the food. And I mean, it seems so, like, simple and basic, but he's another one that his comedy is kind of like Nathan Lane a little bit, where it's sort of performance too. It's kind of Broadway a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know, it's good stuff. But I don't want to steer you too far down the path of the guy you've never heard of. So who's next on your list?
My next is Artie Lang. And, you know, we're probably going to start to merge some people because Artie is really closely related to Norm MacDonald. Norm brought him onto his show. And then Artie got popular from Mad TV and just being a stand-up, but then he got on Howard Stern and he really kind of hit his stride with Howard Stern. He did Howard Stern for a while and had a suicide attempt. He was a pretty bad heroin addict. But you know, the whole secret to comedy is, you got to have talent, obviously, but you also got to hit stride with people seeing you and hearing your stuff. And what better way to be on the best-selling radio show of all time? And I just love Artie because he's really creative. And in fact, his Twitter handle is Artie Quitter because he's not shy about the fact that he was a pretty bad drug addict and gambling addict and just a real addictive personality guy. But I really think he's a genius for seeing stuff that, you know, because what is a genius but somebody who sees something for the first time that others haven't really noticed? And I love his show. Like, we've talked a couple times about this guy, Mike Boschetti, that he has on his show. And he's just such a hack. But you think about it, he's turned this guy into a totally funny bit on his show just by having this announcer who can't even speak properly. And the other day he had on his show a Yankee Stadium beer vendor. And you think, you know, why would a guy have a Yankee Stadium beer vendor on a nationally televised and radioized comedy show? But the guy was hilarious. You know, he saw that comedy in that guy. So
what I like about Artie is that just from the Stern stuff, he took so much shit being on that show. I mean, And I really dig a guy that's got thick skin and then also can make fun of himself. You know? I don't like people that take themselves too seriously. And I'm not one of those people, and none of my friends really are. And it's like, you have to be able to laugh at yourself because you're going to have a freaking heart attack if you don't, you know, if you don't have a sense of humor about the like boner stuff you do sometimes.
Right.
You're just not, you know, and your friends, your best friends, your good friends are going to call you on your shit, you know, and they're going to pick on you about something you're insecure about, but it's done with a whole, you know, whole bunch of love usually, you know?
Right.
And it's okay because if you're insecure about something, you know, and like, you know, if I show up at, you know, to watch football with my buddies and I got a zit on my forehead, you know, if they immediately pounce on it, it's like, all right, now we've all talked about the zit on my forehead. You know what I mean? Like, I feel better now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know? So yeah, Artie's a great choice. And that guy, he's gone around a couple times with the drugs and like, you know, nearly died and came back, and like, I hope he's all right. You know?
Yeah. Suicide attempt. He had a suicide attempt I guess it was about 2010 or 2011, but not that long ago.
Yeah. I'd like to read his book. He just wrote a book too that, I think about a year ago, that sort of talks about all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I've read it. And he's got another book called Too Fat to Fish. That's also pretty good.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. All right. So next on my list is Patton Oswalt.
Oh, he's funny.
That guy's hilarious. He's so good. He, actually saw him one time too. And Dana Gould opened for him, which was awesome. So I got to, you know.
Casey.
They don't really get erased, right?
No.
Okay, good.
I got it.
All right, good. I'm like, God damn it. What's going on? Oh, you're going to have to, yeah. Let's. I mean, you can just cut it all together so that it sounds like this never happened, right?
Right, right.
It's good because you were starting to break up, like,
was
a
I?
Lot. Like, yeah, the so last we... thing you said after Artie's, you said, yeah, I read his book, and then you said some fish, and I didn't hear a word you said.
Yeah, he's got his other book is Too Fat to Fish.
Too Fat to Fish. That's a great title for a book. I love that. So, Patton Oswalt, Dana Gould opened for him. I didn't realize that they hung out afterwards. So I was kind of like, wow, you know, I can go say hi to Patton Oswalt. And then I got to talk to Dana Gould, and I told him about, you know, about the, asked him about the Corolla thing, you know, and, the character he does,
right?
And if you really like doing that and that kind of stuff, it was cool. But anyway, Patton is he's great because he's just sort of like the everyman schlub sort of deal, and you know, he does some good he does the stoner humor and the nerd humor and all that stuff, which I think is great. He's on a new show now. He's doing like the voice on some show on, I think it's right after the that Avengers show. I watched that with my son, you know, because he's 12, so it's okay.
Yeah, he's been a character on a few shows, hasn't he?
Yeah. So yeah, he's smart too. That's the other thing. And his rants are great, you know. And if you ever get a chance, go check him out.
So just looking at it, he was on King of Queens. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was like the other, you know, the friend, the best buddy or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's sort of in that, like, sort of cool kids crowd with, you know, like Sarah Silverman and oh, God, why can't I think of the guy's name? They all went on a tour together. The big, who's the big tall guy that was on Spin City? I don't know why I can't think of his name.
It is pretty fraternal. It's like almost, I don't know, but they're all these guys all share each other's podcasts and they're on each other's shows. And I don't know who the tall guy is you're thinking of, though.
Oh, I'll come up with it. It'll be fun. So who you got? Who's next?
Yeah, we got to jam through these a little bit quicker. I got George Carlin. So that'll be my quick one.
So Duh.
Duh. Yeah, I'll jump. Yeah. I'll jump over him. I mean, George Carlin, great.
Never
comedian.
Heard of him.
After him, I have Don Rickles.
Oh, there you go.
Don Rickles was in Kelly's Heroes movie. Did you ever see that old movie with Clint Eastwood? And his name was Sergeant Crap Game.
Perfect.
And he was scamming. He was scamming Clint Eastwood as a con man in Kelly's Heroes. But he was a great comedian. And most people probably know him now for, like, he was in Casino as the pit boss.
Yeah, no, he was great in Casino. I mean, that guy's, the insult stuff is awesome. And he was like the original sort of king of the roast, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, the one-liners, like, you know, your mother's a hockey puck and all that crazy stuff. But great, he was a great insulter.
Yeah, right. And he's in all those Toy Story movies.
Yep.
Right? And he's great. I love that stuff, you know? I mean, that's if you can handle it, it's really funny, and I think it's good for you, to be honest.
Well, that was in the days, those were the days when comedy was like, comedy roasts were like not nearly as X-rated as they are now.
Oh, yeah, now
the Jeff
terrible.
Ross stuff and all that, like, you know, it was pretty G-rated. You could almost listen to it with your kids back in those early days.
Right. Well, they had, like, Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and all those guys.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan. I think Ronald Reagan got roasted once. You know? That stuff's great. I mean, I think it's still watchable. And Jeff Ross clearly is, you know, influenced by Don Rickles. And he's sort of picked up that kind of baton and ran with it. He's got a pretty good show, too. The Burn. I don't know if it's still on, but he'd probably be on one of my lists of, like, should be on my list kind of thing.
Yeah, and Don Rickles is super old. He was born in 1926.
He's still alive, right?
He's 87, yeah. He's really still, I don't know what he does anymore, but he was funny back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. So, all right, my next guy is Jim Norton.
Oh, Jimmy. Yeah.
Little Jimmy. When I bought my truck, it came with XM. And I discovered the Opie and Anthony show, which, like, if you're a Stern fan, you're supposed to hate that show, I guess, because they kind of had a pretty bitter rivalry. And so Jim Norton was like the third mic on that show. And so his stand-up's weird. It's like really sort of awkward and kind of uncomfortable. But he is so good on that show. Like when he gets in a situation where he can just sort of riff and go off the cuff. He's really funny.
Yeah, I like Jim Norton. He was a guest on Artie Lang's show the other day, too.
Was he?
Yeah, going back to that kind of incestuous where they share just all these guests keep showing up in the same places.
Right, yeah. They're part of that sort of thing. And I think, you know, he works better in situations where, like, he's a guest, you know, like on somebody else's thing.
Right, he can kind of jump in when – and make a comedic observation.
But he was also great on Lucky Louie too. He was the weird sort of friend or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember, like, and I didn't even know who he was then, but after I saw him, I'm like, oh, he was that guy. Like, you know, Louie would walk into the bar and they'd be ready to go out and he's like, what's that smell? And Norton's like, I peed on myself. It's pheromones, you know, it attracts women or whatever. He was in Spider-Man too.
Was he?
Yeah, he had one line. He, like, looks at the – it's, like, during this montage of all this public opinion about Spider-Man, he looks at the camera and he goes, he stinks and I don't like him. It's just, like, the perfect scene, you know. And just to, you know, harken back, Brian Posehn is the guy I was thinking of with Patton Oswalt.
Tall guy, okay.
Yeah, those guys work together. Brian Posehn's another sort of nerd humor guy.
Well, yeah, Jim Norton's one of those guys you don't really know who he is until you start hearing him and seeing him, like, oh, yeah, that guy, wasn't that guy in this and that? But just by the name, you don't always recognize his name.
Right. And he will talk about anything. You know, he says the most self-deprecating things. It's ridiculous. I mean, the guy's creepy for sure. You know?
Yeah. My next guy is Louis C.K., he's really funny. As you know, he started out with these really short movies on YouTube. Have you ever checked any of those old movies out?
I don't think so. No.
He made movies like as a young, even maybe before being in high school, just little 1 and 2 minute movies that are really funny. And, you know, he's kind of hit the big time, but he's kind of worked his way up. He's been a comedian a long time, his whole life. So he's got all the chops down pretty good. And, you know, I just think he's another genius, just kind of observes his life and presents it back to us in ways that we can relate and just laugh at.
Yeah, no, he should have made my list too. He's great. He's awesome. And you know, as depressing as his material is, as I get older, you know, it's kind of like, oh yeah, me too.
Yep. Shit.
Now what?
But he also does an interesting thing on just the way that commercially that he's making his career work is he gives away, like, you donate money to get his albums. You can download his comedy albums for like a $5 donation. I don't know if that you even have to do it. I think he just trusts people to do it. But like his first comedy album, he sold over $1 million worth just by doing it that way for $5.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a weird thing about having his picture taken. He won't let you take a picture with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like his one thing.
Interesting.
But But he does seem sort of like one of those screw the system kind of guys.
Screw the big man, yeah.
Right. So my next guy is right in that crew, like, was one of those guys, and it's Patrice O'Neill.
Oh, okay.
Because I needed a black guy, basically. So that's it. No, Patrice is great, man. I mean, we lost Patrice, which is a sad, sad thing. But you know, there's so many comics out there that will tell you what a just wonderful person this guy is. Like, you know, everybody says that after you're dead. But seriously, like, I mean, you know, Norton's one of them. Louis's one of them. And they were all sort of like, they'd hang out. Like Colin Quinn. He's actually going to be in Santa Rosa tonight. I wish I was going to that.
Colin Quinn is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got like an hour show. He was good friends with them. And so they were all on a show together. Oh God, I can't think of it. It was like one of those, they'd all just sit around and talk shit to each other shows and drink. It was a great show. I can't think of the damn name of it, but, his material is very like honest.
Right.
You know, and there's a really good clip of him where he's getting heckled by some woman and he just like lays into her. Like, he's like, look, he's like, I'm not your boyfriend. Like, I don't have to listen to you. Like, I know you got all dressed up and you think you're all hot, but I don't care. I'm not trying to have sex with you. You know what I mean? Just
I'm not your date. Yeah, I'm not your date. Yeah. I don't have to put up with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rogan does something like that too. But, I mean, yeah, genius stuff, man. If you ever look it up.
He's a good one. My number two is Richard Pryor. We talked about him, so I'll jump past him pretty quick. He was like, I used to listen to him on cassette tapes, just like, over and over. That guy was genius. But my number one guy I have is kind of related to Patrice, Dave Chappelle, because wasn't Patrice on Chappelle's show for a while?
Yeah, yeah. And they worked together on a lot of different stuff too, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Chappelle's awesome.
He kind of, same with him, he like got tired of the system. He actually left a show in Sacramento when the crowd kept yelling, you know, I'm Rick James, bitch. Then he got frustrated and just said, screw it, I'm out of here. You know, that was funny once, but it's not funny hearing it over and over. And, his show ruined his life, essentially, according to him. So he kind of cut out and just left. Didn't he kind of ran away and moved to South Africa for a while and just didn't put up with any of the comedy stuff. And I don't even know if he's back yet. Do you know if he's like doing any performance anymore?
Yeah, he just played the Wells Fargo in Santa Rosa.
Oh, okay.
Just like a month ago.
Nice.
A lot of people went. They said it was good. I didn't see it personally, but yeah, I think that show was it was good. I mean, I hate to say it. It's like, I felt like it was a little overrated though, to be honest. His stand-up, I thought, was fantastic.
I'm thinking more of his stand-up than his show, but the reason why I put him in this funny category.
Yeah, I don't. He just freaked out. He couldn't handle the fame, and he went to Africa and disappeared. And yeah, but he's definitely back.
Right.
For sure.
Well, I didn't mean to juggle your order up. I skipped a couple people, but are you pretty near the top of your list?
Yeah. So. I am. I'm for those of you counting at home, I've got two left. Bill Burr. Bill Burr is an outstanding comic.
Awesome. I love Bill Burr.
Yeah. He's I think we talked about him a couple podcasts ago. About
yep.
How he's the only guy that sort of can do what he does. But the only guy that I actually – and this guy is number one because of just his ability to sort of perform in front of anyone. And it's Brian Regan.
Brian Regan. Yeah, he's good.
And just career longevity too. I mean, Brian Regan's been around since the 80s. So it's like he – I remember we used to – the channel was like Ha, right, before Comedy Central. Right. And then there was some other name for the comedy channel. And it used to just be comedy specials. And he would just annihilate me, you know, when I was like 11 years old. Right. And so now, like, my son, who's 12, just loves this guy, too. I mean, how can he not? You know, the stuff about the spelling bee and all that, you know.
Yeah. He makes really good topical, like, comments about things that are happening right now in our lives. It's good.
Playing Little League and all that. And, you know, and it, again, I mean, it appeals to everyone, and it's spot on. It's not edgy, you know, so you're not gonna, you know, earn any points there. But and it's clean too. That's the other thing. He never works blue. Never.
Yep.
You know. So yeah, I think he's a genius. I'm surprised though that he never, like, why isn't he Seinfeld? You know. Like, I don't understand that.
I don't know. You know, that is funny, that how some guys just click and they get in the right network meeting or whatever, and they get published and recorded and all that. Some guys don't.
I mean, so many comics will say, you know, that that Brian Regan is a genius, but yet he just never. I don't know if he tried to do a sitcom, but I mean he's way funnier than Tim Allen. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean. I don't know. I don't
so,
get it.
So some of the people I left off my list, I'll just read them all really fast because we've been going pretty long here. But Carolla, Howard Stern, Jerry Seinfeld, we just talked about, Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, Bill Burr, W.C. Fields, Steve Martin, Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park, Dave Attell, Colin Quinn we talked about, and then Team Python I just put for the Monty Python guys, the whole crew of them.
Yeah, genius stuff, Python stuff. Yeah, well, I have, like, you know, I had Seinfeld on my left off list and Louis. Seinfeld's, you know, he's sort of like passe now, I guess, or whatever, but I mean that topical stuff again is like, it's an impression of himself now at this point. Like, what's the deal with this? You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's good stuff. I mean, it's really good, solid material. Have you seen that movie, the comedian movie?
No.
It's where he's trying to get a new hour together, and he just starts doing clubs, you know?
I've seen some stuff of him on YouTube. I don't know if it's previews of that movie, but he, you know, he just looks kind of older, and he's still pretty funny.
No, this is an older movie. This is, I mean, not older, but it was probably 5 years ago or something.
Okay.
But now what he's doing is like these webisodes, and it's like Comedians Getting Coffee, it's called.
Yeah, yeah. That might be great. What I've seen.
Yeah, I just saw one with him and Patton. It was pretty funny.
They're driving around in a car.
A DeLorean. He picks him up in a DeLorean, and then the DeLorean breaks down.
Yeah.
And then they deliver the spare DeLorean. Because you have to have a spare DeLorean if you buy a DeLorean. I think one of them says something like, they should just when you buy one, they should just give it to you on the back of a flatbed. So that way it's like, you know, here's your DeLorean.
It's always mobile. Yeah.
Get around. Yeah, exactly. Well, that was a good idea, Mike.
Yeah, it was okay.
Wrap this up.
It was okay.
You know.
Well, we should wrap it up before we get cut off again from the, for whatever reason. Maybe it's the NSA.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, this is good, Mike. Mike goes, it was okay. All right. Don't get too excited. And yeah, we're still getting in the groove.
Yeah, it's a weird mix of structure and just riffing, I think, that really makes it appealing to people who might want to listen to this.
Right. Well, let's do it again next week.
It was too. It might have been a little too structured this way, but what the hell? We're learning, right?
That's right. Well, hey, you know what? You can leave us feedback on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast.
iTunes, Stitcher, West Coast Project, West Coast Project at Facebook. Call Casey's at his personal number at...
Yeah, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. Look at that.
And come see Casey at the Valley House Drive.
1100 Valley House Drive, Rohnert Park, California. Sally Tomatoes, the Laughing Tomato Comedy Series.
And you're going to be on the third Tuesday of January, right?
That would be Tuesday, January 21st. But I would say don't come for me. I mean, we've got Nick Hoffman, who's a genius. We got Juan Carlos, Brian Thomas.
Attaboy, there's that confidence I knew you'd pick up on.
I gotta get it.
Don't come for me.
I gotta list them all, otherwise, you know. We got this guy Mean Dave from San Francisco. He is hilarious.
Is he mean?
He is, and he's bringing Iris Benson with him, who I hear is very funny. And then this guy Josh Argyle, who reminds me an awful lot of Bill Burr, and William Head, and of course it's hosted by the Godfather of Comedy, Tony Sparks. Oh wait, did I forget anyone?
Casey Williams.
No, I forgot Brian Thomas. I did that just for him. But yeah, no, it's gonna be a great show. It's really like, you know, dream team of comedy. So, and there's no cover charge. It's absolutely free.
Sweet, and that's a great location. It's a little bit off the beaten path, but it's a really cool venue.
Once you find it, you're there.
Yeah, it's fun.
They should put that on the sign. All right.
All right, man.
We'll see you next week, Mike.
All right, Casey. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.